At the Commonwealth Policy Foundation, we try to approach the issues of life, marriage, religious liberty, and fiscal integrity from a biblical perspective that promotes thoughtfulness and kindness. We work with political leaders and concerned citizens from all across the state. To stay informed, visit commonwealthmatters.org and sign up for our e-newsletter. The Commonwealth Policy Foundation is a nonprofit organization that only exists because of friends like you. Thanks for tuning in to The Commonwealth Matters.
Welcome to The Commonwealth Matters. I'm your host, Richard Nelson, Executive Director of the Commonwealth Policy Center. And here with me is Ron Hicks, friend and pastor of Henderson Memorial Baptist Church in Hopkinsville. And we're going to process the recent election, civil unrest, and the biblical response to what's going on in our country. And Ron, I thought it'd be so good for you and I to talk about this at this moment when there are so many tensions and passions that are inflamed. And it came to us seeing violence just a week ago in the U.S. Capitol, and just thought your perspective as a pastor would be really helpful for us to process through this.
Well, Richard, I think
part of our political history, Ron, is that there's been a peaceful transfer of power ever since the founding of our national government in 1789, which is really, I want to say, unprecedented. I don't know if you've had a 200-plus year history of a people living peacefully where the leaders, governmental leaders, transfer power without violence or bloodshed or uprisings. It's not happened. I mean, look at ancient Israel. It took just two kings, and they had a civil war. You had Saul, absolutely, David, and then Solomon, and then it was after that that there was the break of the kingdom. So traditionally, handing power from one government to another and keeping it peaceful, it's a rare thing, isn't it?
It is. I'm guessing the mentality of some of the folks that actually are thinking about going to the picture behind you, the state capitals.
Yeah,
they're thinking about going to the state capitals, the ones that went to the United States Capitol. They're thinking, we have the right to do this, the freedom of speech. We have the right to be able to protest and all the rest of that. And they do. And I'm 100% behind that right. Once, though, you cross those barriers, once you put your hands on law enforcement people, once you force your way in, once you break windows, destroy property, once that gate was very first pushed over that kept people back, those people turned from rioters, from protesters to rioters, just like in all the rest of the protests that we've seen. We can't, as conservatives, say when people represent an Antifa, and Antifa is not really an organization, it's just kind of a thought, and everybody shares it and they all show up. If we condemn them for busting windows downtown Chicago, if we condemn other groups for violence, then we have to condemn these folks for violence as well, because violence is violence is violence. It makes no difference what banner you're under.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. And if we're going to be consistent, violence of any stripe is wrong. However, I've heard it said, and this is true, there were, I believe it was a lot of protesters, a couple hundred thousand maybe, that protested last week at the Capitol. It wasn't all 200,000 that went into the Capitol. It was maybe 100 or so. I've heard different numbers, but it was a small number. Nonetheless, that was representative of the entire protest, unfortunately. Now, because of that,
people are painting with a great big broad brush, saying that because some entered the Capitol, then every single person out there was a racist, was all these terms that are coming out. Everybody was a terrorist who was there because 100 people actually did something wrong. You can't paint with a broad brush like that. Nobody likes it when that happens, to include the liberals.
Yeah. So, Ron, since then, the U.S. House of Representatives has charged Donald Trump, President Trump, with inciting this violent activity, and they've impeached him. It was mostly a party-line vote. 10 Republicans did side with Democrats, and he was impeached. The only time in U.S. history that a president has been impeached twice. And I was actually reading through his speech earlier today. Didn't see the original speech that he gave, but he spoke to the protesters. Much of it was relitigating the election results. He went to the battleground states and relitigated. Arizona, a lot of it was in Georgia, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and really was challenging those results. And I don't want to go into that, but I'm going to read part of what he said here, and this is where Democrats in the U.S. House of Representatives were angry. He said this towards the very end, something is wrong here, something is really wrong, can't have happened, and we fight like hell. And if you don't fight like hell, you're not going to have a country anymore. And then after that, he told him to go down to the Capitol, march on the Capitol. Now, that's when some people perhaps misconstrued his words, perhaps some, and I don't want to get into the minds of what people were thinking or how that was interpreted, but he did encourage them to go to the Capitol. He went on to say that if you want to have a country, you've got to take it back. That's a paraphrase, but that's essentially what he was saying. Would you construe that as inciting violence? I don't know if you've talked about, you and I haven't talked about this before, so I'm kind of putting you on the spot right now.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, Richard, it maybe in the minds of people who are not emotionally balanced, maybe in the minds of people who were up there, and for them, this was the straw that broke the proverbial camel's back. For people who weren't thinking with a rational mind, maybe those folks, maybe that was the 100 that of the 100,000 that that pushed through those barricades. But you know, if an overwhelming majority of the people hear what you're saying and understand you're speaking not in literals but in figurative language, how do we take back a government in the United States? It's at the ballot box. Yeah. What has the president been complaining about? The vote, the things that occurred at the battle box, not on the battlefield, but in the battle box. So so whether you agree with him continuing to fight or not, for him to be able to say that, I think only a fraction, a very small percentage of those people heard it any other way than just, you know, hey, we've got to have a system that works. And so fight for a system that works. So I would not say he was inciting those people. If he was, 100,000 people would have rushed the Capitol and taken the Capitol, and we'd be talking about a very different scenario right now about how 100,000 people were sitting in the Capitol of the United States of America. That's not the case.
Of course, those in Congress disagreed, and they did believe that he was inciting violence. I want to go to, just to give some context where I think a lot of conservatives see this, and this is really important. And I'll say this at the outset, often the president has been careless with his words. And
absolutely. You and I have talked about that, right?
Yeah, we've talked about it on a number of occasions. But I think where we are in this day and age is many, many people, especially on the political right, are frustrated with the direction of the country. They see institutions failing them, whether it's the judicial realm, whether right now big tech, I see that as an institution. They see their views being shut down, them being boxed out of certain conversations, cancel culture. I mean, that's a big thing. You could argue that President Trump is involved with cancel culture as well. But conservatives, I think, have gotten to a point of frustration where they see the system is broken. They don't see anybody up there representing their values. And with these careless words of the president, some people who were mentally imbalanced did, unfortunately, resort to violence. And Ron, when we come back,
let me ask you this, Richard.
Well, we're going to take a break.
Okay,
Look, we come back. Yeah. I want to ask your pastoral counsel on this because you talk to people every day. You've got a congregation there in Hopkinsville that you talk with, and I want to hear your take on that. If you're just joining us, you're listening to The Commonwealth Matters. I'm Richard Nelson here with Ron Hicks. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Growing up as a child, who did you turn to whenever you had a crisis? Who was your source of strength? Who held you in the darkest situations and became your beacon of light? Most of us will recall the love of our parents, our grandparents, our family. But the harsh reality today is that there are many who face the dark places of life totally alone. Since 1869, the mission and the ministry of Sunrise Children's Services has been to help children in crisis. That need grows every day in Kentucky. Everyone with a passion for children can join us in giving hope to children in need. To learn more, just visit sunrise.org or call 1-800-456-1386. Matthew 25:40 tells us, "The king will reply, 'Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you did for me.' Now's the time. to be a child's source of strength. Come help us at Sunrise Children's Services.
Hi, Richard Nelson here with the Commonwealth Policy Center. It's clear that the news media isn't always fair. In fact, there's lots of far-left bias and political gamesmanship. No surprise there. So if you're looking for a perspective that's grounded in the truth of Scripture and our nation's founding principles, then get plugged into CPC's resources. Sign up for our e-newsletter at commonwealthpolicycenter.org. You can also follow us on Facebook at Commonwealth Policy Center. And we're on Twitter at CPC4Kentucky. Welcome back to the Commonwealth Matters. I'm Richard Nelson, Executive Director of the Commonwealth Policy Center, and my good friend Ron Hicks and I are processing through the election disappointment. We're processing through President Trump's speech at the U.S. Capitol last week, and then the unfortunate violence that took place. Ron, what are you telling your people in the conversations you have, not just in your congregation, but the conversations you're having with your circle of friends regarding responding to this?
You know, Richard, I have actually done a study of this, and I've never found one scripture that talks about hating anybody into heaven. Mm. As a matter of fact, the scriptures tell us that the world will know that we are his if we love one another. And so I realize there's such a thing as a righteous indignation. Yeah. The Bible tells me, I believe, on two separate occasions, Jesus chased the people out of the temple. Yeah. On one of the occasions, he took the time to fashion a whip. So the whole time he was fashioning this whip and he's weaving this together, it was an instrument not of defense, but of offense. And with a righteous indignation, he chased people out of the temple who had turned his father's house into a den of thieves. Now, the Bible tells me he didn't sin. So there's a righteous indignation. And there are times where I believe our country was founded on a righteous indignation. I believe that the people who may have thought that the same actions needed to take place this time, mm-hmm. I think their ideals were misplaced. I do think that we need to be able to get a handle on things. In talking with my congregation, I just tell them, hey, I'm just a simple preacher. But if on the liberal side, and I don't want to call any names because I'm afraid I might identify something with the wrong person, but there were liberals who were saying to their constituents, meet conservative representatives, meet conservative elected officials, catch them when they're outside, surround them, holler at them, and those sort of things. And several conservative were out with their families and they were attacked. Were those people inciting riots? Yeah. And are those people also going to be impeached from office?
Ron, that's a good point. So, let me jump in. Hey, good point. And I'll actually name names. Maxine Waters.
That's who I was thinking of, but I didn't want to.
No, it's okay. I think it's in all fairness, and yet the U.S. House of Representatives chose not to censure her or to impeach her, to kick her out. But with that said, we're dealing with this situation now. It shouldn't be whataboutism, what about that, what about this. We can't control what the U.S. Congress didn't do in the past, but what are we doing right now?
Right. And that's a great point, and that's kind of my point. I was heading in that direction, but thank you for getting me there quickly. If that was wrong, then this is wrong.
Yeah.
But we've got to say, are these two exactly the same thing? I would submit to you that they're not. The president did not directly say, storm the gates, take over the offices, hurt people, push past barricades and all the rest of that. I think he was talking a far more of a literal sense. Now, having said that, you and I have talked before about the idea of his irresponsibility. I believe the second that the first person was in the chambers and that the president knew about it, he should have immediately responded. He should have immediately said, hey, this is not what I meant. We have a system in place. We have a process in place that's hundreds of years old. That's what I was talking about. And he didn't do that. Yeah. And for that, I think shame on him.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. There's so much to unpack and we don't have time in this program, but as far as why the sentiments are in the conservative community are very much in support of Trump and why the protesters showed up in the first place and then even defending some of the violent activities, that's something I can't go there.
No, I can't.
And I want us to really hone in, focus on biblical principles. Look, we're in a time of civil unrest. This is not in a vacuum, Ron. We saw just the other week Mitch McConnell have his home vandalized. Nancy Pelosi had her home vandalized because Congress didn't increase the payouts to the American people. They want people wanted $2,000 checks, stimulus checks. They only approved $600 checks. But we saw this before. Mitch McConnell, by the way, has had his home vandalized. He's been harassed several times in the past. But we've seen violent actions right here in Kentucky against Senator Rand Paul. His neighbor attacked him and actually was sentenced to jail. We saw a couple years ago a shooting at a baseball field. It was the Republican-Democrat annual baseball game, and a gunman, crazed gunman, started shooting, opened fire. Several people were injured. Steve Scalise was one of them. We have many examples where the violence is entering the political realm. Often this is preceded by rhetoric, untempered, hot-headed rhetoric that leads to the violence. But Ron, I'd like us to focus on what is the Christian response. We live in a we live in a dangerous time and in a volatile time when it comes to emotions. But at the same time, and not to justify any of that, people see the country slipping away. First Amendment freedoms, Second Amendment rights challenged. There's an urgency that people have in the political right that would lead them to this. How do you, what do you say to your people, your congregation? I know they're very conservative. How do you counsel them to respond?
Well, first of all, lost people, and I do not mean this in any derogatory sense, but lost people, people who are not yet saved, are going to act like lost people. And so their number one desire is to be able to please themselves. They're on the throne of their lives. So if they're not happy, they want everybody to make them happy. I was there. You were there. Anybody who before they became a Christian was there. They were the king and queen of their own life. Once you become a Christian, you step off the throne. Jesus Christ is now your Lord. And when he had the opportunity to be able to fight, remember the guards were going to come and take Jesus to be led away to a false trial. And Peter drew a sword and he attacked the squad of soldiers. And Jesus told him, no, this isn't the time, this isn't the place. Not that that wasn't ever the time or the place, but he was saying, no, this isn't the time. So he was trying to say, I believe, and my interpretation of that is there are things that have been providentially designed. And one of the things I believe is providentially designed is the system in which our country elects its leaders. Yeah. And so to be able to attack and to be able to show that you're a violent crowd is not going to do anything to be able to get people to sit down and talk at the table. We've got to be able to say, hey, we're going to come in Christian love. We as Christians are going to put our best. We need to be leading in this. Christians are always seem to be following. Yeah. We need to be leading a culture. We need to be impacting culture before culture impacts us. And to be able to say, let's sit down peacefully and talk about the issues of concern.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to The Commonwealth Matters with Ron Hicks. I'm Richard Nelson. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back for the last segment in just a moment. Hi, Richard Nelson here with the Commonwealth Policy Center. It's clear that the news media isn't always fair. In fact, there's lots of far-left bias and political gamesmanship. No surprise there. So if you're looking for a perspective that's grounded in the truth of Scripture and our nation's founding principles, then get plugged into CPC's resources. Sign up for our e-newsletter at CommonwealthPolicyCenter.org. You can also follow us on Facebook at Commonwealth Policy Center. And we're on Twitter at CPC4Kentucky. Welcome back to the Commonwealth Matters. I'm your host, Richard Nelson, and good friend Ron Hicks and I are talking about the civil unrest and at this in this segment, the Christian response. And Ron, I never thought I'd see the day and age where we'd have people storming the Capitol, breaking windows, breaking through police barriers, sitting in the Speaker of the House's office and posing. People were doing selfies, and people killed. There were five people killed. One was five people died.
Right.
A Capitol police officer was killed, bludgeoned to death, as I understand it. I never thought I'd see that. Now, could we say that this is not a Christian response to political disappointment?
Yes.
That was a softball question, by the way. So just
thank you. Yeah. Because, you know, again, the Bible tells us that we're Christians aren't supposed to judge non-Christians. The Bible says that Jesus is actually going to do that. Paul says that we judge those inside the church, and we judge those inside the church not as a judge sentencing you, but as a judge to be able to judge your character. Does your character line up with what the Word of God says? I'm actually going to be preaching on that. Do you have the fruit of the Spirit? Do you have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness? Do you have those things that Christians are called to be?
Yeah.
And so I think what we saw was certainly on the surface, but you will know them by their fruit. There was not love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Now, if somebody would have said, hey, we've 25 times tried to contact the speaker's office to be able to get an appointment to meet one-on-one, and each time we're denied. If they said, multiple times have we tried this, and we tried that, and we tried this, and we haven't, so we're coming in to be able to say, you need to speak. None of that was done. It was in the heat of the moment. It was a mob mentality. And that, no, it's not a Christian response. That's all the flesh responding.
Consider what passage in 1 Peter 3:9 says, do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. And I would say, Ron, my observation in our cultural moment is that when you see evil, if you respond by cursing or with anger or vitriol, it just makes it worse. But if you respond in a way that, if I could say it this way, supernatural, with grace, with blessing, with love, that gets people's attention. That is jarring, because it is not normal to our human nature.
It's not. And I want people to distinguish between the term meek and weak.
Yeah.
Meek is a strength under control. Weakness means an absence of strength.
Yeah.
I and you are certainly not weak. But the scriptures tell us that we need to control our strength and to be able to present ourselves in humbleness and in meekness. But it doesn't mean that we should shy away or back away from an issue, but we need to do so with compassion and with love, having that power under control, because we have Holy Ghost power. I mean, we've got power, the same power that hovered over the waters on the creation of the universe. We have the same power in us that resurrected Jesus Christ from the dead. We've got power in us that makes us witnesses. And so we've got to harness that power and to be able to bring it out as fruit of the Spirit and not as fruit of the flesh.
Yeah.
And
so
I'm going to start preaching there. Sorry.
That's good. No, hey, I could listen for quite a while at that. That's good. So Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, verse 27, but to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. How do you do that? We've talked about this before. I want you to say it right now, because there's a lot of anger between the political right and the political left. How do you love your enemies?
I'm going to tell you, it starts with one simple act, and it's going to sound crazy, but you start praying for people that you don't like. I mean to tell, I'm talking about God. I want you to bless their family. I want you to give them health. Lord, I want you to open their hearts and their minds to what your word has to say. Lord, I want them to have the desires of their heart as long as they're in accordance with your will for their life. Lord, I want them to be able to prosper, expand their area of influence as long as it lines up with your word. You start praying for somebody you don't like every single day, and guess what? Two things are going to happen. They're going to change into the person that you like, or you're going to change to be more like Christ, because Christ saw the crowds and had compassion on them as sheep without a shepherd. They were lost sheep. He didn't have anger. He didn't attack them. He didn't say to the disciples, kill them, take over. He said, we got to love them. And well, so you can love them with that power.
If I could add this, Ron, actually, when Jesus was near the point of death, he did one of the most amazing things that anybody could do. And he said, while he was dying, while he was being mocked and scorned, the nails were in his hands, he's hanging on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And that's difficult, but this is something only God can do. But he is our model. You know, when we're being persecuted or mocked, or we feel like we're losing our freedoms, I'm not suggesting for 1 minute, I need to add this parenthetical note, I'm not suggesting that we don't care about our freedoms, that we don't engage culture, that we don't let our voices be heard, because we have tools at our disposal to preserve our culture and our freedoms. But what I'm saying is the way we go about in doing this, as Christians in particular, is very, very different than those who invaded the Capitol. They obviously weren't Christian, that they weren't operating under Christian principles, biblical principles. But I would be hard-pressed to believe that any of those were true Christians walking with the Lord that were doing that. Doesn't mean that you can't sin and let your emotions get the best of you, but yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, we got to be very careful, and I know you mean this because I know your heart. We're not judging a person's salvation. We even know of pastors who have been calling curses down on liberal politicians and things like that. So even believe, we're not perfect yet. Only Jesus is. The Apostle Paul, when he talked about the Christian walk and he told everybody how they ought to be, he paused and he said, now hang on a second. I don't want you to think that I've yet achieved all this, you know, but the grace of God is still in me. So I believe that Christians could lose their righteous mind and operate in the flesh. So every one of them could have been Christians, but they were certainly operating in the flesh. And so that's why we've got to be meek. We've got to be tempered. We've got to be able to allow the Holy Spirit, which is far more powerful than us. When we don't know what to do, the Bible says, after we've put on the full armor of God, if you're not sure what to do, just stand. It doesn't say attack. It says stand, because our battles aren't against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. So stand, gather your righteous mind, and then apply the power that you have through a righteous mind, a sound mind, to be able to bring about godly results.
Yeah, that's good. Ron, we've got just a moment here to close, but the FBI just released a bulletin saying that there will be protests at every state capitol, including and in the U.S. Capitol, between January the 17th to the 20th, which is the Inauguration Day, armed protests, people that will be showing up. And actually here in Kentucky, I'm in Frankfort right now. I was told to stay away from the Capitol. They're expecting a protest this weekend, actually. What are your final thoughts on these armed protests that are expected to happen?
Richard, you know me. I hunt. I'm an avid shooter. I'm a huge a proponent of the Second Amendment. I practice that liberty daily. And so the idea of do people have the right to be able to bear arms as long as it's legal? Yes. Is it wise? No. I would not put myself in that position. I have the right to bear arms, and I wouldn't go there. I wouldn't bear arms in that particular position, because you have a whole bunch of volatile minded people who are following the flesh. Guess what? Things are going to happen.
That's right.
And if you show up just to be able to say, okay, I'm going to just go, I'm not going to be violent, I'm going to take my firearm with me, if somebody's acting stupid and you draw your firearm and defend of yourself, you're just going to be able to pour into this mentality that the conservative folks are just a bunch of hillbillies wanting to shoot things up.
Yeah, that's a good word. And we'll have to close on that note. So the advice is to avoid those rallies at the capitals that involve inflamed passions. And free speech is a right, protected right. Second Amendment is a protected right, right to bear arms, but just not a good combination. So good word, Ron.
We're not saying don't do anything. We're just saying don't do this.
That's exactly right. Exactly right. Hey, Ron, it's good to have you on the program, brother. I miss being there with you in person, but it's good that we could join via Zoom.
Amen. Thank you, buddy.
All right. God bless. Take care.